Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier international and flagship podcast of LRMOnline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network. This week, it's kind of like the Jammer Show, where I'm all alone. Just me and my producer, Kyle, on the ones and the twos. How goes it, Kyle?
Hi. It's going.
And good. And this will also be a fairly brief show. I'm just here mostly to talk about this week's development in DC, and that is not to give you, not to repeat everything James Gunn said, but to give my opinions on the topics that I feel most strongly about. Let me just start by saying I predicted some of these the night before. I basically posted one tweet with the five things I hope to see be released. Was it Wednesday? Was it Wednesday when he released it? Yeah. So
Monday?
Tuesday.
Monday or
no, 30th. Or yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. But I predicted, well, I hoped for, it was more of a what I want list. I wanted a Batman and Robin type movie, which would not like Batman and Robin, but, you know, a film that actually has him and Robin, hopefully lighter in tone, because it really needs to differentiate itself from the Batman. And I figured the best way to do that would be a Robin movie. And he announced that in The Brave and the Bold. And then I said I wanted a Booster Gold movie, and they announced that as a TV series. And I also said that I would like to see Justice League Dark, which they didn't announce, but they did announce a character that could very well lead into that side of the universe with a Swamp Thing film. So with that, I'm just going to kind of list what James Gunn's listed. I'm not going to go into much detail about the ones I don't really feel strongly about, or, you know, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about all of them today, even though it will be a short show. James Gunn started by a list saying that everything is going to be connected. Everything, he said, except for the Elseworld stories, which will clearly be labeled as Elseworld. So he started off by giving the current slate. We still have Shazam, Fury of the Gods, The Flash, which he says resets it. But then The Flash is also still followed by Blue Beetle and Aquaman. So I'm a little confused on how much reset there will be with that. In addition, this is the list. This is the order he put it in, though we all assume it will start with Superman Legacy. He lists all of his projects as for TV animation. We have Creature Commandos, which will also have some of the actors returning in live action. Waller, Superman Legacy, as I said, he calls it the true beginning of the new chapter of the DCU. Lanterns, The Authority, Paradise Lost, The Authority being a movie, Lanterns being a TV show, and Paradise Lost being a TV show. The Brave and the Bold, the Batman project I was discussing. TV, Booster Gold, and movie, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and Swamp Thing, also a movie. So, here are my thoughts on the ones that are most interesting to me. First of all, I am still confused with I don't know if Aquaman is going to be an Elseworld or if it's going to be some kind of continuation, because the order he put it in, and also the fact that Gunn did say, well, that Flash was going to reset everything, which almost one would expect. You could do Flashpoint, which movie's already rumored to be, with a few reshoots. We've kind of discussed this on past episodes of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Kyle, do you have any idea? You've discussed this before. How Aquaman, do you think it will be an Elseworlds, or do you think it will tie up in line?
What's his name? Gunn said in his video presentation that the four coming out next year fit. They can work their way in. Him and Saffron said that Momoa will not play two characters, but him, Gadot, Levi, and Miller have an open door to return to their current characters. There will be characters played by actors from the previous stuff, but it won't be the previous universe, and some characters will be recasted, such as Superman and Batman. But yeah, that's from Gunn and Safran themselves. So we'll see what Aquaman does. It's kind of on Momoa, and it's probably it's a success on whether or not they actually carry on. So, plus, I think Momoa would jump ship to Lobo if he was offered that chance.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like a full reset again, like they were talking about. This is kind of what I was afraid of, because he keeps talking about is chapter one. This is Gods and Monsters.
If they are the same actors playing the same character, but a variant of the character, is it really not a full reboot? I mean, it's a multiverse, so they can play it any way they want. I brought up this whole thing with many on the Daily Cog about how no matter what you do, if you have any, even a remote connection to the past, you're going to have forever and ever those fans that want, well, if you're willing to do this for this character, why not do this for this other character, my favorite character, or the Snyderverse, or whatever the case may be. It's got baggage, bro. And I don't know what the best business decision in this is, because no matter what, you're going to piss some people off. But hey, I think it might all be a day late and a dollar short in the long run anyways, but we'll see on that. As far as like popularity for CBMs in general.
Interesting. Yeah, I was hoping for something cleaner, and he just keeps talking about it like it's cleaner than that. Like, yeah, like you said, when he talks about Shazam, he's like, Shazam's in his own corner of the DCU. And then the Flash resets it. Blue Beetle, I always figured, could have been the first chapter easily, as long as there aren't a lot of connections to it. Could easily be the first movie, just don't reference the other stuff. Because even, I mean, it's not called Aquaman 2, but just having an Aquaman 2 in there, he's already muddled it up, I feel. I disagree with Kyle as it being too late as far as comic book movies. But I do feel like by not doing a full reset, he's just making the same mistake that has already been made when trying to distance itself from Snyder. So, of course, he mentioned as far as Elseworlds, you got Matt Reeves, Batman. We got a release date for Batman Volume 2, which I forgot to write down, but I know it's 2025. Joker, of course, which is already in production. He mentioned Teen Titans Go as an existing property. And like I said, these sibles will all be listed clearly as Elseworlds.
October 3rd for Batman Part
2. October 3rd. I was going to say October, but the last one wasn't. Just it was set around Halloween. In fact, I believe the only other one he really gave a release date to was Superman Legacy, which is also 2025. So it looks like we're going to have at least a dry year, which would have almost give them more room for a complete reset. And yet another project that kind of concerns me is Waller. There you definitely have an actor that it's cool that you don't have to recast Waller because she's so perfectly cast. But again, this feels like Gunn being like, well, I'm super precious with my Peacemaker and my wife and, you know, these characters I introduced to the world. So that's why I think a lot of fans could be upset. I mean, the Snyder fans are going to be upset no matter what. But the idea of like, well, I'll bring my characters over and we'll reboot most of the other ones, including your Henry Cavill, who upsets most fans. Sorry, my computer screen. So the ones I really want to talk about, and we'll get into it. Oh, Lanterns is the other one I kind of predicted, but in a different way. So yeah, it's interesting he chose Gods and Monsters as his little theme again. That really, it's very Gunn universe. It's not like which I guess is what you expect. It doesn't seem like he's trying to get into the mainstream, except for the ones you're kind of required to have, like Batman and Superman. And of course, I'm glad they think the stink is gone from Green Lantern. That's a character I thought they should have already included. Lantern sounds really interesting. I like that they're doing, giving Hal Jordan another chance, and they're doing the two of them. This, of course, I don't know how much different this is than the rumored HBO Max, or maybe even announced in like pre-production, or even just as a concept HBO Max series that we've been hearing about for years. And then The Brave and the Bold, is very interesting to me, mainly because he said it's going to expand on the Bat family, but the first one's going to focus, or at least we'll probably see other Bat family in there, because he's using Damian Wayne, who is, like he says, is Batman's son, who Batman didn't know about for 10 years because he was trained by the League of Assassins and Talia al Ghul. She had his baby without him knowing. He was trained to be an assassin. It's a very awesome story, in that Batman's always having to kind of, in the early days at least, keep Robin from killing, because he's supposed to be like one of his Robins. But he's also the fourth Robin, which brings into question Batman's age, if he's already been through three Robins, or if they kind of rewrite history and make him maybe the second or the third Robin. Because I don't like the idea of going in, like, it just feels like what we did last time, where we go in, we already see Jason Todd's or whoever's statue it's supposed to be, with the ha ha ha, you Manny know, the Snyder thing.
Manny brought up the point of doing that it frees up for Nightwing and Red Hood to exist.
Yeah.
You can just skip and there's Nightwing, because a lot of people are, they're interested in the idea of a Robin, more to have a Robin than to go through a specific Robin. But I know a lot of people really love Nightwing, so I could see that being why he chose to do this.
Because that's why I could see what Manny would say that. Because I mean, I would assume when he says bring in the rest of the Bat family, you can have an already established Batgirl, especially since we'll go into that story in a second. We all know about the canceled Batgirl. You have Nightwing. Yeah, like I said, Red Hood if you want. There are a number of other characters you can introduce. And like I said, this is kind of the direction I felt they definitely should go, since they also have the Batman. And like I said, maybe keep this a little bit lighter, because I would like to see a teenage version of Robin. And it's very hard to do in live action, I feel, based on... just, I don't know. It's a very, I don't know why it seems hard to do in live action, because it's not even as troublesome as Bucky, who would be a teenager serving in World War II with Captain America, if they hadn't updated his age for the films. But yeah, it's tricky. And Booster Gold, that's really the other one I really wanted to talk about. That one is very interesting because we already have the Blue Beetle movies I was talking about. Booster Gold's a very interesting character. James Gunn basically lays down the basics. He's really just a loser from the future who has time travel technology, so he comes back to the past. Like, he's the kind of character who's like selling his own action figures, and like, you know, kind of like Ozymandias if he wasn't evil and he was hadn't already retired before, like capitalizing on his own stuff. And him and Blue Beetle are always a very interesting combination in the comics. I've never read a title that was like included them in the title, but I love whenever they would pop up in the DC comics. And then Swamp Thing, he kind of mentioned Swamp Thing as kind of being in its own corner for now, but bleeding in, and I hope this does lead to a sort of like, it does, because, I mean, obviously monsters were on that side, but maybe we could lead us into the Justice League Dark, which, of course, they would never do before the Justice League, or at least they'd call it something else. Like, I think when it was rumored, or at least announced, whatever, you know, DCEU was a mess. It was called Dark Universe. Maybe get some Constantine, Satana, and some other interesting action from those characters. My only other real question about his lineup, as I said, this is going to be a very short episode. I'll talk this and I'll talk to related news stories, since I'm all alone this week except for Kyle. But he did not mention a movie that was recently announced, a Constantine 2. It'll be interesting to see if that continues on as an Elseworld. He didn't mention it either way, or if Constantine 2 does just get canceled, because there's also been stories this week of Keanu just telling the story of how he's trying to get it made, and he's just been bugging DC for years and years and years to get it made. And I'm sure they announced it recently, because what better time than the present, when Keanu is even more popular now than he was back during the arguably more popular now than he was during even the first Constantine era, or days. I mean, obviously very popular for The Matrix, but now he's not just The Matrix guy. It's like, oh, he's Keanu Reeves. He loves you, man. He loves movies.
Whoa, it's Keanu, man.
Whoa, I love you guys. Like when he gets up on stage, what was that, the Blizzard event or whatever? And like, we love you, Keanu. He's like, I love you guys. But that's about all I have about James Gunn's DCU and Peter Safran's DCU. Again, disappointed that it wasn't a complete reboot. I think it's going to leave confusion and room for fans. I mean, obviously fans are going to be upset that they lost their Henry Cavill and stuff, but by not throwing everything out, like Kyle said, I think it's going to just create more friction. It's not going to feel like a real fresh start. It just feels like we'll see, but it sounds like a half-assed attempt to requel in a way itself, the same way that the last attempt to kind of distance itself from the Justice League, Joss Whedon's Justice League, and just the mess that Snyder made didn't really change much. It just, I don't know. It's cool titles he announced. Sounds like a very disappointing way to do it that I kind of feared we'd be left with a bunch of, even if it is variants, which still makes it feel weird with Aquaman 2 being part of it, or maybe being an Elseworld, but don't know. We'll see. Not super pleased. Was more pleased when I read the titles, and then I watched the video where he's like, but we're keeping these, and I was like, oh no. So at least that part of the podcast was longer than his explanation or his little video. Kyle, does it matter what the story, what order I do the other two stories in?
Not really.
Okay. Last two stories, they kind of tie into that. One is just something we all noticed, but even a Hollywood Reporter thought it was something worth writing about. Well, people like me noticed on Twitter. Not long after the announcements, James Mangold, who of course is known from everything from 310 to Yuma, Ford versus Ferrari, Walk the Line, Logan, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, tweeted a picture of Swamp Thing not long after the announcement. And James Gunn basically just liked it, I believe. Maybe he retweeted it. It's on this article. But yeah, James Gunn retweeted the post, as Hollywood Reporter says, suggesting that talks were heading in a hopeful direction. It doesn't sound like a lot. We do take a lot of stuff like that and turn it into theories, but I mean, and it would be a good choice for the movie. He's called it more of a horrific movie, but I guess it also, one of my other questions about the DCU is, when it's all connected, how much room will there be for R-rated content within the connection? That being said, we have had the Suicide Squad, which was connected to the old stuff, which still seems to be connected to the new stuff. So you'd almost expect a Waller to be rated R. So maybe Swamp Thing is something they would take full horror, unlike Doctor Strange, which was called a horror movie in advance of its release, but obviously didn't end up, I mean, we knew it wouldn't be worse. I mean, higher rated than PG-13 as far as an R. And then the other part that kind of ties into this whole thing is Safran, Peter Safran, who's doing all this with James Gunn, actually had some comments about Batgirl, and it was not what I was expecting. The quote in the title is, Safran believes that shelving Batgirl was the right decision. It would have hurt the DCU. I mean, it would have hurt DC. And his little quote, I just found this surprising. They've mostly been distancing themselves from decisions made. Last week, we discussed that Titans and Doom Patrol were canceled, and that wasn't something they decided, but that was something they, you know, they didn't say really whether they objected to it or not. Gunn just made it clear last week that that was a decision made before them. So here is Safran's quote about the cancellation of Batgirl, which of course we discussed months ago. It's a big tax write-off. And of course, maybe we will be seeing Batgirl in a Brave and the Bold film. Batgirl is a character that inevitably we will include in our story, said Safran, which again, I would say Brave and the Bold. On the Batgirl front, it's not about, about late in the process of the film getting canceled. I saw the movie, and there are a lot of incredibly talented people in front of and behind the camera on that film, but that film was not releasable, and it happens sometimes. The film was not releasable. I actually think that the president and CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, David Zaslav, and the team made a very bold and courageous decision to cancel it because it would have hurt DC. It would have hurt those people involved. I still kind of cry bullshit at that. I mean, none of us have seen it. It almost sounds like backtracking, though, because, I mean, I don't know. I guess if people had balls back in the day, they would have been like, well, hey, releasing the Justice League at all is going to damage our brand. Maybe it's better if we don't. It's just kind of unheard of that you would cancel a film that was, I believe, if not done with production, like as in shooting, very, very close to being done with production and into the early post-production phase. And it just seems like, I don't know, it seems like he's towing the company line. I mean, it's not like they can, James Gunn and Peter Safran can do anything at this part to reverse it. But, and maybe they're also saying that, like I said, to clear way for their Batgirl in The Brave and the Bold. But it just still seems fishy where someone's like, yeah, it would have hurt. How would it would have hurt DC? Was it that bad? You couldn't do reshoots or something to fix it? He talks about wanting to work with the directors again. And of course, it had Brendan Fraser in it. And it's just, I mean, he knows better than me. He's seen this stuff. But I guess my overall arcing theme of this episode, which we're about to bring to a close, is that I don't trust in James Gunn and Peter Safran as much as I did before the announcement of Chapter 1 of the DCU Gods and Monsters. Seems like there's some, I don't want to say fishy, but it just seems like there's some stuff going on over there that doesn't seem, I don't want to say too, maybe it seems to favor a lot of James Gunn's stuff while throwing away not everything else, but other things away. And it's not as clean of a reboot as I wanted, which honestly turns me off as a DC fan. Like, I wanted a full clean slate. Let's go forward. Let's have an MCU type property. Somehow all the video games and all that stuff's also going to be like attached to it. And yet we still have two video games coming out that haven't been released yet, which seem completely separate. The Suicide Squad kills the Justice League and Gotham Knights. So it's like
Gotham Knights seems is like out.
It is out.
Yeah.
I had no idea that game was already out. Are you sure? Oh my God. Well, there you go. That game must not have been very successful.
Came out in October of last year.
Wow. I did not even know that game was out. But yeah, I just feels like more of the same. I was excited to hear the announcement. We were all like online and they're like, oh, I'll announce before the end of the year. We're like, oh my God, will it be, when's it going to be? He only has a few days left. And then this announcement comes out. Like I said, I'm excited for a few of the projects, but it just feels like we're not differentiating it enough from what's come before. And it's not really a reboot at all, except for ironically replacing the actor that people like the most while leaving a bunch of other actors in their spot. So I guess with that, that is Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast for the week, a Nick Dahl show. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully I'll have someone on next week with me. Jammer barely ever misses. I don't know what he had today, but he was busy. Danny, you know, has issues. And of course, we had all four of us last week, if you have not checked out that episode, The Ladtastic Four. And Kyle is the most regular of all of us, always here producing. He hasn't missed at all. Thank you, Kyle.
You're welcome.
And with that, let me just, I am at Geeky Nick Dahl on Twitter. Of course, check out the Genreverse Podcast Network wherever you listen to podcasts. Also on YouTube, it's nice and fun to watch us. It's not as fun to watch me. I'm not the most attractive of the bunch, but that's fine. You can listen to all of our other great podcasts like AVR Squared. I screwed up this time. Okay, every time I say the V, I keep thinking of Avengers versus X-Men, Anime Versal Reviews, The Cantina, Daily Cup of Genre, Genre Shot, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, which it sounds like we'll just be doing for the films and when there are TV shows running, at least for now, as we kind of have been doing. So Kyle will be able to do Ant-Man in the Quantumania. Wow, I butchered that, in just 2 weeks. And then Loki will be the show that we'll be doing after that. And then, did I miss any shows, Kyle?
I think Secret Invasion's coming before Loki.
Is it? I thought Loki was.
I think so.
Oh, well, whichever. I'm just excited for both of those. So those both look solid, but hopefully the new stuff that's coming out, Kyle will enjoy more than Phase 4 so that we can have joyous talks about things.
Let's hope so. God, let's hope so.
Not Kyle getting almost more angry with each show than with each episode of the show as his disappointment mounts. With that, I'm Nick Dahl, and hasta lasagna, don't get any Anya, mission accomplished.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.